take a look back and we say, God, you've done something. I didn't even see it in motion. I didn't see the little keys, the little answers, the little things that you were working as a plan. I didn't notice, but God, you were doing something. And now I am the recipient of your grace. So my word to you this morning is, don't ever doubt. Don't ever be afraid when you have to go one more step. Don't be afraid, for God is with us. Did the kids already leave? Okay. Oh, okay. We're a little shy on kids today, but that'll probably change next week. Probably have a half a dozen or more next week. You never can tell. The experiences that we can have, just in everyday life, can be intriguing. Excuse me, I'm on the run today. We can have conversations we didn't see coming. We can have experiences in just places we didn't expect them to happen. And so we were sitting in the restaurant this week, and which is our normal, going to get something to eat. And a conversation, someone walked into the restaurant and we started up a conversation just at our table. And the conversation went something like this. You know, I don't think people today really care what's happening in our world. They aren't interested in what's happening overseas or the struggles that are going on or the things that are unfolding, the prophecies that are unfolding, the different things that are in motion in our world. They just kind of like they live for the moment, and anything beyond the moment really doesn't, they don't really care about. Said, well, yeah, you're probably on target there. We do tend to live in the moment, and people don't worry about what's not on their front porch. Although there's a lot on our front porch, they don't tend to worry about it. And the conversation kept going and said, you know, it's getting bad out there. The things that are happening in the world are getting bad and unpredictable. You know, he said. You know, I don't know. It's starting to worry me that I don't know if I'm going to wake up in the morning or not, whether I'll be bombed or taken out by some chemical warfare or some war that could break out or whatever. And the conversation, and this is the words he used. It scares me to think about what's happening in the world. Now listen for a moment, and this was a fellow believer I was talking with. I said, "Well, yeah, it is. The world is a scary place. It's a place where we don't know what's next." But I said, "I'm really not afraid. I have a concern for the world." I care about the world. I care about what's happening in different parts of the world and all that. But I'm not scared, because he used that word. I'm scared about, you know, about this. I said, but I'm not scared. And the reason I'm not scared is because I know who's in charge. Now, if I didn't know who was in charge, and I didn't know that God has a way in the wilderness, and I didn't know that God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts and His ways are higher than my ways, if I didn't know that He has worked in the past and He'll work in the future, if I didn't know that, yeah, I'd be afraid. I would be afraid. But not when I know that God of the universe, the God of all creation, is my God. In fact, let's go in the Word for a moment to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And this is the response to, it can be a scary world. It can be an unpredictable world. There's lots of things I can't control. There's lots of questions about things I don't understand. And I don't always know what's coming around the next bend, but I know who is around the next bend. The old song that we sang might have been a Gaither song, "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand." Who holds your hand makes all the difference, doesn't it? Yeah. We can walk through a lot of scary places if we're holding on to the right hand. Here's how the psalmist put it. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Sounds a little scary, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. How would we feel in the middle of an earthquake? Probably we'd be a little nervous, wouldn't you say? Yeah, some things going on. There, even though all these things could, might, and probably will happen, here's what he says. Verse 4, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. "Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." Oh, I think we mentioned verse 10 today. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Oh, wow. What's he say right there at the beginning? "Therefore we will not fear." How do I tell you this? Fear is the opposite of faith. They're at polar opposites. Because you can't have faith when fear is in control, when fear is reigning. And you can't have fear when faith is in control. So, in other words, we're going to have to pick one or the other, right? Now, I'm not saying the flesh won't tremble at things. What I'm saying is the spirit shall not be in despair. Are you with me? If the spirit is in despair, then we are not being a people of faith. We're going to have to make a decision. You know, sometimes faith is a feeling, but rarely. Faith is more of a decision that I make, based on the fact that God is who He is, and nothing will ever change that. He's been forever. He shall be forever. Nothing will ever erase God. And I choose to stand on that truth. That's faith. Sometimes faith has a good feeling come along with it. And I'll take that. But I'm not going to depend on that. I'm going to depend on the fact that God is who He is and I've chosen Him this day. So how do I know that God is faithful and trustworthy enough to hold me when chaos wants to break out all around me? How do I know this? Well, the Word tells me. You say, well, that's just a book. No, this is not just a book. It is the book. It is the beginning and the end. It is the truth from word number one to the very last word of Revelation. It has been life-changing, life-altering from generation to generation. Even before we knew the Word, it knew us, for Christ is the Word. So this is not just a book we read. This is not just a book that we take in as information. This is a book of transformation. And from beginning to end, we see one theme: God. The great, almighty I Am, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. And I want to share with you today words you've heard me speak before, but I want to speak them again because we need to know that God is our all in all, everlasting, ever capable, all knowing, all seeing. He is our peace. He is our hope. He is the one who shatters fear. So I think about fears. What are the things that we, without God on the scene, would be in terrible fear of? The very first thing that comes to my mind is the fear of death. Okay? Think about it. You know, death as in nothing to follow. No sense of purpose or being following our death. No hope of eternal bliss. No, just the flesh is all we have to depend on, and when it's gone, we amount to nothing. What will it be like to die? Now, all of us have I'm going to call it a healthy fear of death, in that we don't know what it's like, right? Has anybody here ever died? Okay, so you don't know what it's like, right? We only hear stories. We can only assume some things. We can only go by what the Word of God informs us about. But there's a mysteriousness about death. How do people handle that? Actually, it kind of freaks me a little bit. Because the truth of the matter is, I don't like pain. Do you? You know, so will death be painful? Will it give me an eerie feeling? We could go on, and we could examine this thing to death if we wanted to, and come up with still just mysteries. But you know what Jesus Christ did? He came and He eradicated eternal death. Yeah, the physical will pass. It's been appointed unto man once to die. But Jesus Christ has taken the authority of death away from the enemy. Destruction, fear, the chaos, the questions. You know what? My God holds all of those answers. He has the keys to death and hell, and He's taken them away from the enemy. And by my faith in Him, though the body shall die, the soul of me will never perish. It will forever exist in His presence. We could go on with some other fears. The fears of not having enough. There's a fear. What if I don't have enough to eat tomorrow. What if I can't pay my bills? What if somebody tries to take advantage of me, and what if somebody tries to abuse me? And all those what ifs could build up a lot of fears, couldn't they? Yeah, they could. We could go on and on with how fears could literally take over our lives. And for some it does. But I want to assure you that the God who is described in this word, this holy scripture, is fully able to carry everything that would make me afraid. Let me give you some examples. In the book of Genesis, we find that God is literally the breath of life. So we breathe because He says to breathe. We exist and have our being because God has ordained it. He is the author of life itself. The breath of God is within us. The image of God has been built within us. Therefore, if He has invested that much of Himself in us, do you think He's able to keep us? Oh, yeah. He's got the ability, the power, and the authority to hold us and to keep us and to sustain us. What does that knowledge do to fear? What can defeat me when God is the breath of my life? Right? In Exodus, we find that not only is He the Creator, but He is the one who is the Passover Lamb who redeems the lost. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, demonstrated right there in the book of Exodus as He saves His people from their bondage. Do you think that a God who is that intimately interested in what's going on in our spirit and our soul is ready to let us just slip away with no accord? I don't think so. In Leviticus, we find that He is the high priest. Overall, what does the high priest do throughout history, the history of God's people? The high priest intercedes, makes intercession for the sins of the people. He takes the people before the Father in order that the Father might have compassion and mercy on His people. And Jesus became the very high priest, didn't He, of all time, the final, complete high priest of our souls. That's a lot of responsibility, don't you think? Do you think He would take on the job of being high priest if He doesn't have any intention of completing the task? Surely He who began a good work in us will take it on to completion. For who? For you. For me. In Deuteronomy, He's the voice of salvation. He chooses to make covenant with people. Did you know that God does not need us? He can exist just fine without us. But for some mysterious God reason, He chooses to know us. He chose to create us. He chooses to know us. He chooses to be a part of us. He's a covenant maker in Deuteronomy. In Judges, He cared enough to give to become the lawgiver. In other words, He wants us to walk the straight and narrow. He wants us to be a holy people set apart unto Him. He doesn't want us to be lost in darkness. Seems to me like God's going to an awful lot of trouble here to just walk out on what he's doing. We say, but the world's in such desperate straits. Things are so crazy. God hasn't walked out on anything. He is still working his good and perfect plan for mankind. And we get to be a part of it. How's that make you feel? You. I could call every one of you by name and say to you, God has chosen you to be a part of his eternal plan. You didn't just come into this world by accident. God ordains life. We don't ordain life. God ordains life. And he's chosen you to be a part of his eternal plan and purpose. That excites my soul. You say, but I've sure got it tough. I'm sorry if you feel like you got it tough, but you're still a part of his eternal purpose and plan. You have been chosen. This momentary trouble that the Word talks about, this momentary trouble is not even worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed in you. You get to be a part of it. I do too. Woo-hoo! We're talking God stuff here. Not human flesh stuff. We're talking God stuff. And there's none greater than he, right? Why did you pick me, God? I don't get it. I wouldn't have picked me. Why did you pick me to be a part of your eternal purpose and plan? I don't know, God, but thank you. Thank you. And I know that my momentary troubles are not going to be forever. Oh. In the book of Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. That which he owns, he brings back. 1 and 2 Samuel, he's the trusted prophet, foretelling the goodness and the wonders and the purposes of God the Father, which are eternal. In Kings and Chronicles, he is the sovereign one. Over all, in all, above all, authority over every aspect of our being and our world. I don't know how you tell you this, devil, but you ain't winning. It's the victory has already been won. You're just hanging on for a while, but not forever. Not forever. In Ezra, he is the true and faithful scribe. He is true and faithful to record and know all things. That's our God. He knows what we will face before we face it. He already knows what will be needed before we know what our need is. He already sees. He's already working. I believe with all my heart that God is already at work for tomorrow. Because he's already in tomorrow. Oh, here's a beautiful one in Nehemiah. What does God do in Nehemiah? He rebuilds the strength of his people. He rebuilds. What the enemy has stolen from us, God is rebuilding into a strong tower. And the people of God will run into that tower and find their safety. For Esther, he was the God of courage. Don't be afraid. I am there. I am there. I see. I know. I work. In Job, he's the timeless redeemer. Again, what Satan intends for evil, God turns for good. Ha! He turns for good. You know what happened with Job? The enemy took everything except his very life from him. Total misery. And God said, far enough. Job is faithful to me. I will honor him. And he became more wealthy, more astute than he had ever had before, because God moved in. He is the timeless Redeemer. Oh, today may not look as good as we'd like it to look, but tomorrow is better than we can ever dream of. Are you with me? Oh, the Psalms, oh, he's the bright and morning star. When all seems to be in favor of the enemy, not so. For God is our light and our salvation. In Proverbs, he is all wisdom. All wisdom. Nothing gets by him. Nothing catches God off guard. Nothing is greater than his insight. He's got this thing called life. In the Song of Solomon, he's our great lover. He is our great lover. Nobody loves you more than Jesus does. It's not possible. That would be impossible. He's our great lover. He's in Isaiah, that Prince of Peace. Though you forsake me, yet when you call on me, I will save you. I will save you, the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. He's the God who cares. Stick with me here. He's the God who cares. You say, well, if he cares, why is he allowing so many things to transpire? Because he's smarter than me. He's wiser than you. He sees more. He knows more. And he wants us to become a people who lean into him. What a blessedness. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, where we are given the privilege of leaning into the bosom of Christ to find our comfort and our peace. In Lamentations, he's the one who cries out for his people. He cries out and takes our wounds, takes our sins, and weeps them to cleanse them. In Ezekiel, he is that call away from sin. Come unto me. Rise up, you dry bones, and find life once again. In Daniel, he's the stranger in the fire. Didn't we throw three guys into the fire to destroy them? So two questions. Why do I see four guys dancing around? First of all, there's more than there should be in there. Secondly, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. He is the stranger in the midst of fire. In Hosea, he's the faithful one, never to change, forever and ever and ever. He will do what he says he will do. He has always done what he says he will do. He will always do what he says he will do. He will never fail. In Joel, he is the Spirit's fire and power. He speaks renewal. He speaks compassion. In Amos, he's the arms that carry that which is broken and lost. Where was God when I was struggling? That's when I was in his arms. Yeah. And he wept with me. And he rejoices with me. and He sustains me. In Obadiah, He is the Lord, our Savior, who saves and avenges. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The sins of the evil will not go unpunished. They will either be eradicated by the blood of Christ, or they will be sent to eternal destruction. The price will be paid. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. What does a great missionary do? He comes after us. A missionary goes after that which is lost. What did Jesus say? I've come to seek and to save the lost. Aren't you glad for missionaries who take the initiative to go after the lost? That's our God. In Micah, He is the promise of peace. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, He is the pleader for revival. Be revived, O my people. Come unto me. In Haggai, He is the restorer. In Zechariah, He is the fountain. In Malachi, He is the healer. Shall I go on? We made it through the Old Testament. Did I mention He's the same from the beginning to the end? That His word is ever true, and that we need not fear? What can mere man do to me? Oh, he might be able to strike down the body, but he cannot strike down who I am. Who am I? I am a child of God. Yeah. We could go on through the New Testament books and find Him just the same, and I won't take time this morning to do that. But I assure you that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I stand on that solid rock that we sang about this morning, when I plant my feet on who He is, I am saved. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. And today, I hope you'll join me, I choose faith. That's all there is to it. There's no debate. I choose faith because greater is He that is in me than the one who is roaming throughout the world. I choose faith. Yes. I'm going to ask the team to come back up, and we're going to close today by singing that song again. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And as we sing it, I want you to think about what we've mentioned this morning, that Christ the solid rock is where fear is eradicated. Okay? My soul is set free by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know what? Nothing out there can make me the same offer. It doesn't have it to give. Only my King has it to give. My peace I leave with you, Jesus said. Not like the world gives, give I unto you. Go ahead, pat yourself on the chest. It's for me. Say it. It's for me. It's for me. God offers it to me. I get to be a part of His purpose, His eternal purpose and plan. And that is peace. Let's see.
You unravel me, give a melody. Moses, as the representative of God,